Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Stu and Blake.
Hello and welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. I'm Stu Whiffin. Joining me as ever, Blake Harrison. How are you, mate?
Very, very good, mate. Very good. I'm feeling slightly stressed because we've got a rush on, haven't we? We've got to get a shift on.
We have. So if we can make a point of not saying we should be able to chop. I'll definitely be able to chop about half hour out of my content.
Yeah, I don't think I'm capable of doing it. Also, can you just like abbreviate any name that's more than three syllables for you?
That's great for me.
Right, let's jump straight in then.
All right, because what we're going to do, we're going to cast our minds back a little bit to we want to talk about the PFL, and obviously there was two fighters from Great Britain in that, and I want to talk about this weekend's
UFC Holland Orlando.
Incredible. And you messaged me last night saying we should talk about the James Krause situation, which I hadn't heard of. I don't know where my head had been, but it had just passed me by. I had a quick look last night, but I need you to sort of fill in some blanks and discuss the madness surrounding that situation. But first of all, do you want to... I mean, tell us a little bit about the PFL, because I know you're a big fan of PFL, and as am I.
Yeah.
But I know that you've done work with them and stuff like that. So give us a bit of a synopsis of them two big fights. So obviously, we had two former guests on.
Yes, we did. I mean, I did watch it. I'm not going to lie to you. I wasn't expecting to talk about it, so I've not got any notes or anything like that.
We've only got to talk about the results, yeah. And obviously, you know.
Yeah, so I mean, first of all, it was a fantastic card. I mean, they are long cards of PFL. They had like a 7 or 8 fight main card because they've got 6 title fights where the winners all get their $1 million. But on top of that, they had like Marlon Moraes fighting Shaman Moraes, which ended badly for Marlon Moraes, and maybe another fight as well. I don't know. There's 7 or 8 fight main card. It's long. But let's keep it down to, well, I've got to mention Kayla Harris and Larissa Pacheco because, oh my God, if anyone had any accumulators or what the Americans call parlays in their gambling or whatever, your lock of the night was probably Kayla Harrison, and it did not work out. It's like her first loss. It's a woman. Larissa Pacheco is a woman that Kayla's beaten twice in the past. This was a shoe-in, surely, but Larissa Pacheco has done a lot of great work. She's had a phenomenal season this season, knocking out everyone she's fought up until this point, I think, and in really quick, devastating fashion as well. But Kayla's just so dominant, her grappling, her wrestling, but Pacheco was just, even when she was taken down, she did not stop. She was peppering with little strikes, trying to get back to her feet, hitting her with elbows. It was really, really something special. And God bless Kayla Harrison. In the interview afterwards, she was, you know, she was saying all the right things, and she really does have the heart of a champion. But you could tell she was incredibly upset by the fact that she had lost. So congratulations to Larissa Pacheco. It was not the night people thought it would be in terms of the main event. But the two Brits that were on the card had differing fortunes. Unfortunately for Stevie Ray, he was up against a fellow UFC veteran, Olivier Aubin-Mercier. And Mercier just knocked him out with, I think, look back on it now, it was a left hook. And Stevie Ray got up after obviously being knocked out, went straight over to Aubin-Mercier and said, what did you hit me with? But we love Stevie on this show. Stevie's fantastic. He's had a better season than anyone expected him to have, especially after his first fight, which he lost. He's beat Anthony Pettis twice, and one of those was at Madison Square Garden. It's a pretty good season, and he's got to the final. It's a shame he didn't win it. Lovely bloke, but unfortunately, you know, this is MMA. These things happen. Yep. And Olivier Aubin Mercier is no joke. He's a very, very, very good fighter. And it was in a round, I think it was round two, when Stevie was dominating that round. He had his back for ages. You really thought it was going to go Stevie's way. Unfortunately, it didn't. But the star of the night for the UK was Brendan Loughnane. People say it in different ways. I don't think it is Loughnane. I keep hearing other people's podcasts, particularly a certain Irishman named Sean Sheehan, who is fed up of people saying Loughnane. I think it's Loughnane or Loughnane. I don't know. But however you say it, he's brilliant. He's £1 million richer because he finished Bubba Jenkins in, I think, the fourth round. He's a great fighter, Brendan, because he's very fan-friendly. Most of his fights, he wants to keep it on the feet. He's not got that kind of one-shot knockout power, but he's got fantastic cardio and he will keep coming forward. He hits you with volume and he broke Bubba Jenkins, even though I think Bubba opened him up at one point. It was a really difficult fight for the first maybe round and a half maybe for Brendan. And then he just started to pull away and pull away. And you could tell that the cardio was there. The striking was on point. He's got the mouth to back it up, Tuffy. He talks really well, Brendan. Yeah. We've had him on the show. You can go back and listen to that episode. He talks really well. PFL have got a bit of a star in the making on their hands here. And I think he could do really well in the PFL. I know they're doing some really fun stuff coming up where they're doing these special pay-per-view events where I think there might be like super fights and like crossovers with other promotions. There's Bellator versus Ryzen coming up soon. I think the PFL will probably want to get involved in that, maybe do something with Bellator, one championship, any of these things. Could be really, really fun. And I think Brendan will be the guy that could be one of the poster boys of the PFL from now on. He sort of was already, particularly in the UK. I remember when Channel 4 got the rights, he was there with Clarissa Shields and Kayla Harrison. He was, you know, the face for the UK PFL scene. So best of luck to him. Phenomenal stuff. And he's £1 million richer now.
Nice. Someone else from the UK that shocked the world was my sister-in-law.
Oh, yeah. I want to talk about that. Yeah, do it. Because, again, I haven't, other than what you've been posting every now and again, I you know I don't follow boxing too much. But, yeah, tell us about it.
So my sister-in-law is a boxer called Nina Hughes. And Nina had a very impressive amateur career. Was shortlisted for and went on all the camp with the Olympic team, but lost out to Nicola Adams in going to that Olympics.
I've heard of her. She's not bad, is she? That Nicola Adams.
She's done all right. I'll tell you what, she hasn't done. She hasn't won a world title.
There he goes.
Got to stick up for my family, and I. But yeah, and Nina had this incredible career as an amateur and, you know, won multiple belts and stuff, and then took some time out and had children, had two children. And then at the age of 39, after watching lots of boxing, thought, do you know what, I reckon I could do all right. And at 39, applied for a professional license. This was last November. And within a year, has gone on a tear and won four fights. And then 2 weeks ago, after a bit of a... She's not someone that's going to get caught or pulled into trash talking, but the American champ put on Twitter, "Why does no one want to fight me?" And Nina went on Twitter, much against what she wanted to do. Her coach was going, "Just call her out." And so Nina, being Nina, just went, "I'll fight you." And then the American champ just gave her loads of abuse. She was going to break her neck and stuff like that. And Nina's like, "I just said I'll fight you." And then Eddie Hearn chimed in and said, "If you win your next fight, Nina, I'll make it happen." And then Nina knocked a girl out in two rounds. And yeah, turned 40 and then got flown to Dubai about 4 weeks after her last win. Got the shot for the WBA Bantamweight Championship of the World. massive underdog and schooled this American boxer and got the decision. And yeah, Great Britain has a new WBA bantamweight champion of the world. And
oh, I want a sound effect board so I can just be like, woo, yeah. It's a fantastic story.
It was amazing. It was. And straight away after that, Eddie Hearn said, it's like a real life Rocky story, this. I'm going to make some big fights for you this year. So at 40 years of age, you know, to win the world title. And yeah, it was. Obviously, I'm biased, but I was crying, absolutely crying my eyes out. It blew my mind. But yeah, she's home, and yeah, and let's see what comes that way. So yeah, a little bit of boxing news there for you, because you know we've Katie Taylor and with Nicola Adams. You know, there's a lot more, you know, attention, you know, on women's boxing, and there's some incredible fighters out there. And my sister-in-law is one of them.
If they make like a Hollywood remake kind of movie of this, you know how like all the characters in real life, you know, the people that play them are usually like younger and more handsome. Are you going to be all right if I play you? Is that?
Yeah, sure. I'll be like Paulie. I'll be the fat, like alcohol ridden, washed up wreck. That'd be me. Yeah. And you can play a younger, better looking me. That'd be great. Yeah.
All right. Wicked. Sounds good. No, all right. So, yeah. Wonderful story. Congratulations.
I know. Ahead of her next fight, we'll get her on to tell her story. And I know this is an MMA one, but she's got a great story, and it'd be lovely to get her on and introduce her to our listeners. But tell me all about James Grass.
Oh, well, from a fantastic, heartwarming story to something much darker and, oh, God, yeah, it's not great.
It sounds grotty, man.
It's pretty grotty. I mean, look, first and foremost, nothing has been, like, legally found out yet.
Sure.
But cast your mind back a few weeks. Derek Minna was in a fight. Oh, I can't remember his name. Against like that. It's something like Nulan Beke or something right, like that. I can't remember. But there was very weird betting lines apparently for this fight.
What does that mean?
So the odds makers are going.
I know nothing about gambling, so.
Well, neither do I really. This is where probably my knowledge falls apart. But if you are into gambling, you might be able to fill in the blanks for us or for yourself. So the bookies, the bookmakers, they're making their betting lines based on, obviously, they want to make the underdog someone that people put more money on. So they give them better odds and all that kind of stuff. And the favourite, they want to shorten that as much as possible. Because if everyone puts money on it, they don't want to be out of a job. So the betting line started moving incredibly weirdly. Derek Minna's opponent all of a sudden had loads and loads and loads of money put on him, not just to win, but to win in the first round by a stoppage. Now, this guy hadn't knocked anyone out for a very, very, very long time. He hadn't got a stoppage. He was not like some big, amazing fighter or anything like that. Probably a maybe even match with Minna, maybe, I'm not sure. But the amount of money getting put on this guy was very, very suspicious. Then in the fight, Derek Minna throws like one kick, goes down holding his knee, clearly got an injury. No fake injury, clearly got a real injury here. And people are like, his opponent's won by first round stoppage. That's interesting, given all the money that was put down on him out of nowhere when the guy has no kind of track history of finishes like this or anything like that. So then I think the fight took place in Ontario, in Canada, maybe. All of a sudden, they've come out and said, we will no longer be taking bets on UFC in Ontario. They're the kind of gambling board. Said we're not taking bets in Ontario anymore. Then Alberta, Canada came out saying the same thing. So the UFC are like, oh, this is potentially going to be a problem here. They banned James Krause from the corner in like the next week's fight. So there's one fighter that had James Krause scheduled to be in his corner. Krause wasn't allowed to be there. Then it's come out that the UFC, or Hunter Campbell, I think it is, who's the head chief of operations for the UFC, put out a statement a few days back, saying no fighter from James Krause's gym, I think it's Glory MMA, and no fighter coached by James Krause in any way will be eligible to fight in the UFC anymore. That's huge. So there's nothing legally has been found yet, but clearly the investigation required a big move from the UFC to try and make sure that they look like they're doing all they can to stamp down on the fact that the theory would be that, so I've probably gone too far here, but the theory of the fight is that Derek Minna knew he had a really bad injury, went into the fight anyway, because we know that fighters of that level aren't paid enough. So he went into the fight to get his money anyway. And either Krause or someone else behind the scenes, allegedly it seems like people think it's Krause, must have put a shed load of money on their own fighter to lose. Or at the very least, told a bunch of people to put money on the fact that Derek Minna's not going to last more than a round. Whether Derek Minna was actually involved in it or not, subject to investigation. And whether Krause was actually involved in it or not is subject to investigation. But the UFC have come out and said now, no one from that gym can fight in the UFC anymore, which has got big implications going forward. Because I think the first pay-per-view in January of next year, involves Brandon Moreno, who trains from Krause's gym. So what the hell is going to happen there in the Figueiredo-Moreno 4 fight? I have no idea. Is Moreno going to find another gym? I mean, I can't imagine he'd be hard up finding another gym. I mean, he's an interim champion, former undisputed champion, and he seems like the loveliest guy in the world. Any gym would want him to be part of their team.
And also, if there's corruption in his gym, he's not going to want to be associated with that. Make no mistake, like, if Krause is found guilty of this, like, people are going to fly that nest rapid, because there's people that are, yeah, you know, James Krause has got a big team now, and yeah, they're all legit prospects in all manner of organisations, and they're not going to go, oh, well, okay, well, look, we're in this camp, so we're just never going to fight again. They're all going to jump ship, and I don't know whether they're just trying to penalise Krause for this and make sure he's redundant, because basically everybody's going to leave that gym and that gym will be no more.
Well, yeah, I mean, fighters obviously can still fight as it stands. I don't think Bellator, PFL, any of those have said anything about it. It's just the UFC. It's all pending an investigation as well. If he's found not guilty, then it may very well be the case that they lift the ban on James Krause. You would think they would. But God, what? He's effectively been blacklisted. He's not been found guilty yet, but it makes you think either something has come up that the people in the know, and they're like, the investigation will find him guilty, so it's better to act now before other gambling commissions stop taking bets on UFC, because that would be quite damaging for the UFC and the sport in general.
The things with corruption, obviously we know full well that boxing is riddled with corruption. Yeah. And there is obviously corruption in MMA. Of course there is, when you've got people fighting and, you know, and there's such huge money in it, there will always be elements of corruption. But if something is high profile like that all of a sudden, you know, commissions are stamping down and going, no, you're no longer taking bets on the UFC, then they need to be hard on that, because, you know, it's their brand, isn't it? They can't be seen to be going light on something like that. And you know, if James Krause is innocent, then fuck me, that's rough. But if he's guilty, then they're going to make a massive example of him.
Well, I mean, one of the biggest sponsors of the UFC is DraftKings. They're a gambling site. The sponsors of the BT Sport coverage of the UFC, I think, Bet365, I think, sponsor that coverage. If you're not allowed to bet on the UFC, well, those people aren't going to invest in your product, because the whole thing is they want people to bet on the fights so they can make their sponsorship money back.
Crazy.
So it's a huge thing that, you know, might run and run. Who knows how long it's going to go. If James Krause is innocent, God, your heart goes out to him, because this is just, he's been blacklisted and this will never be forgotten. But if he's guilty, man, what a stupid thing to do.
I was a big fan of James Grass as well.
He's becoming one of the best young coaches.
He was great, yeah. And, you know, solid career. And he was, you know, obviously, like you say, like a legit one of the real good coaches that was coming through. But, yeah. But, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, if there's people gambling on their own fights.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
To lose, fuck that, man.
Hey, yeah, terrible
well
look.
Grotty.
I think also the UFC have put out something now that, like we're saying, like no one involved in the UFC in any way can make bets, which I was talking to my brother about this the other day, is that I was kind of like, well, yeah, I can see the benefit of that. But he was like, yeah, but if you're a fighter on one of those smaller things and you want to bet on yourself to win to earn more money, and I was like, that's a good point. If you're betting on yourself to win, as long as you're not picking a round or stuff like that, because if you don't want to, like, you don't want Sean O'Malley fighting someone that he's clearly going to beat and going, I'm going to make this round two rather than round one. But if you're just betting on yourself to win, I don't think there's necessarily a problem with that, as long as you're not going by a certain way or in a certain round. But I don't know. Maybe it's just cleaner and easier to go, no one can place a bet. If you work here, you cannot place a bet. And there you go. That's it. So that's where we're at right now. Who knows what the investigation is going to unearth? Maybe it'll unearth something even bigger, some crazy corrupt thing. I don't know, but certainly interesting.
It's been a week of it, because even the fighters that you think are squeaky clean, we're talking about Stephen Wonderboy Thompson here. We find out at the weekend, got done for skinny dipping. What the hell's going on with the world?
Go on, Wonderboy, getting arrested for skinny dipping. Love it. I love that man so much.
We got to move on, right? We'll move on to last Saturday's card, and I think we should start at the very top with Wonderboy and Kevin Holland. There was talk of is this fight of the year. I'm not so sure of that, but
it's definitely not up there with Khamzat Burns or Yuri Glover or anything like that. But it was a really
thrilling.
Fun fight. Thrilling.
And
fun
I
fight.
Didn't think it was going to be.
Neither did you I. Know,
I thought, are we just going to get Wonderboy just staying out of trouble? And I think the first round looked like it could have been that. But then a few times he got clipped. And then I think he just thought, right, I'm going to bite down on the gum shield here and I'm going to get stuck in a bit. And then we just got... The chat was brilliant. I love the fact that they were chatting and high-fiving. Subsequently finding out that Holland said, like, let's keep this standing. I mean, if you've got a kung fu fighter like
corner?
Kevin Holland...
In the corner saying, God, that old guy's fast.
And then, absolutely. And, you know, we love Wonderboy, and you've got that karate style versus that kung fu. It was like a computer game. It was perfect. And the fight just unfolded into just a fantastic high-level strike fest, and I loved it.
It was exactly what I wanted from that fight. I went into it not expecting that, because My thing recently has been, I feel like Wonder Boy's age has caught up with him a bit. I think he isn't as fast, as quick, as explosive as he used to be. And that was the main aspects of his game. He's still obviously a very technically gifted striker, but I think he lacks that pop that he used to have. And that's why I think he's been taken down a lot. His defensive wrestling is just a little bit slower than what he used to be. And that's why the Bilals, the Gilbert Burns have kind of run through him a little bit. But this was exactly what you want from a Wonderboy fight. I'm putting it out there now. Do not book Wonderboy against any wrestlers ever again. Solely book him against strikers, because we get nights like that, and it was excellent. Kevin Holland didn't do himself any favours. He could have mixed in a takedown. I know Kevin Holland, his wrestling isn't amazing, but...
BJJ Black Belt.
Yes, even the threat of the takedown could have been helpful, you know. First round, though, first round sort of went how I thought the fight might go. I didn't expect it to go to the ground. I thought it'd be a stand-up fight. But I thought Holland's power would get to Wonderboy. And it did in that first round. Holland won that 100%. First round. He cut Wonderboy open really badly, hit him with some nasty elbows. And Wonderboy's strikes just seemed to bounce off of Holland and not really give him any trouble.
Pretty much for 3.5 rounds, I thought that was the case. I didn't think Wonderboy was ever going to stop him, because Kevin Holland's chin's unreal.
His chin is unreal, but there were moments in the fight where you were like, oh, you've been rocked. Round two, Holland got rocked, and you could see it, and it happened again and again. But the chin on him was phenomenal.
And the liver.
And the liver. Well, that's what I thought really done him. When it got to like I think it was the fourth round where Wonderboy buried two left body kicks into Holland's ribs, and you could see Holland wilt a bit. And it was shortly after that that they had that weird moment where Dan Mergliotta waved off the fight, thinking that Holland had basically like verbally tapped. But he hadn't. He was just complaining about a groin strike, which, to be honest, I was like, I heard on the commentary them saying, well, if you hit on the belt line, that is illegal. That is too low. But it was nowhere near the cup. So it didn't seem like a groin strike to me. It just seemed like he was really badly hurt to the body. And then he took another punch to the body and was just like, oh, God, I am absolutely buggered. But that was paused. Holland only took a little bit of time. He could have taken way more time. And then he just got back into the fire. And then the fight was stopped by his corner between rounds 4 and 5. Credit to the corner. Good on you. I don't know if Holland asked for the fight to be stopped. When you look at the edit of the footage, it's like Holland said, can you take this glove off me? And when I was watching it with my brother, we were kind of like, oh, is that him saying to the corner, I'm done? But then I've heard other things and I'm like, I wonder if the camera was on Wonderboy, the corner have said, we're going to stop this. And after that, Holland has said, take the glove off me then, because he broke his hand. His hand was broken at some point during the fight as well, which obviously didn't help him.
You see him take his wrap off, didn't you? They cut his wraps off right at the very end of the show. And like literally, I think Wonderboy was with him. And I think you just hear Wonderboy go, whoa! And then like you just got a split second and it just cut to credits. And it was like, oh, I just wanted to see how bad that hand was. But
it looked pretty swollen. I saw like an Instagram picture saying it was pretty bad.
He was a one-handed fighter for probably rounds sort of 3 and 4, I think.
I still don't think that would have changed things. Do you think? Like, don't get me wrong, he would have obviously been more dangerous, could have caught him, but I felt like Wonderboy had his number. I thought that was 100%. Phenomenal performance. Those spinning heel kicks, you were like, oh, today, like, amazing. Again, credit Holland's chin, but it was super interesting. I think because we're short on time, we should maybe just flick to what do we think is next for Wonderboy. Do you have any thoughts on what you want?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What do you want? Because you obviously do.
Oh, big time. All right, so I have wanted for ages Michelle Pereira versus Wonderboy. That is, if we don't get that fight in the UFC at some point, it's a travesty. That will be the most fun fight. However, that is not my pick, Stuart Whiffin.
Okay.
My pick is Jorge Masvidal. What do you think of that? I'll explain why in a minute, but what's your initial thoughts?
I would never have considered that, but that is tasty.
That is tasty, isn't it? They fought before back in like 2017 or something. Wonderboy won. Masvidal was spoken about wanting that fight back. It's a great thing because it gives two veterans that are big names, really fun fighters, it gives them a showcase against each other. So one of them can then go on from there and maybe do something fun. You've got
now
loads of options.
Now's the time to make that happen. Off the back now, of that performance, now's the time.
Now is the time for a few reasons. One, Leon Edwards versus Usman will be coming up probably spring of next year. As much as Hamzat should be fighting Colby soon, hopefully, if that goes ahead, blah, blah, blah. But if Hamzat can't make the weight, or do you know what? If Hamzat does make the weight and if Hamzat beats Colby, do you know what's a more fun fight than Hamzat versus Leon if he wins against Usman?
Go on.
Leon getting back against Masvidal after the three-piece and a soda incident. Make that for the belt. And I know a lot of people will probably be listening to this going, how can you give Masvidal a title shot over Hamzat Chimaev? And I make you right. You shouldn't, from a meritocracy standpoint, you should not give Masvidal a title shot over Hamzat Chimaev. You shouldn't do it. But the UFC are probably still very pissed off with him with how he made the Nate Diaz situation happen at 279 and the weight miss. There's no guarantee he can still make that weight. So do you know what? Set this fight up. And even if he beats Colby and makes the weight, you can still go, do you know what, mate? Chill out for a bit. You can fight the winner of Edwards Masvidal because that's still a really fun, epic fight with a great backstory to it. A fight that should have happened a while ago. From a biased kind of British MMA fan point of view, it gives Leon an easier title defense than Hamzat because I don't think anyone beats Hamzat at the moment if he's firing and actually making weight and stuff.
Yeah, that's the key.
That's so I'm here for it. And if Wonderboy wins, they're great. Wonderboy's had a great fight against a highly ranked guy. I can't see Wonderboy going for the belt at any point unless he gets the kind of Michael Bisping treatment. If he's beaten Holland, beats a Masvidal, maybe fights someone else as well, like a Michelle Pereira or something like that. He's on a free fight win streak and something happens at the top where a Hamzat can't make weight or someone gets injured or something like that. You could give Wonderboy the Bisping treatment, phone him up on 2 weeks' notice. Do you want to come in for this? He's got to take it because he's got no other chance of touching it. He's going to be 40 next year, for crying out loud. Give the man the shot because I love Wonderboy. And also the other thing with the Masvidal fight, you've got the BMF versus the NMF. So it writes itself. Let's do it.
RDA, Barbarena?
Yeah, I mean, totally weird fight. Why? I don't know why you booked this fight when it's like, Barbarina is not a ranked welterweight. RDA is a ranked lightweight. I didn't see the point of it, but sure, it was a fight. It went RDA's way because RDA is a better fighter. But good performance. I mean, he's got a great resume, RDA. He's sort of
But does that do anything for that resume? It's another W, but does that put him in any better position?
No, I wonder if he's like, he knows he's not going to win a belt anymore. He's been beat by all the welterweights that are above him. Like the Colbys, the Usmans, the Leon Edwards, they've all beat him. I can't see him getting anywhere near Makhachev or any of those guys, really. I don't like the call. Well, no, do you know what? He should make that call out. That's the call out he should have made. Good on him. I just don't think that fight happens. When he's performing like that, I don't think Connor thinks, let me get in there with him after a few years off. And obviously he's got a lot of people making jokes about the fact that he's probably on steroids at the moment to look as big as he does. That may be true. He's not in the USADA testing pool at the moment. He's got to get back into the USADA testing pool. I mean, Connor's next fight looks like it could be Artem Lobov. Have you seen all of that? The lawsuit over Proper 12. I tell you what, though, the conspiracy theorist in me is like, imagine if Connor and Artem are like, look, Artem, you're not making any money now. You've done your BK, your bare knuckle thing. Mm-hmm. No one's calling you for money. I need a tune-up fight because things aren't going great for me at the moment and I've been out of action for so long. Let's concoct some fake beef. You can sue me for Proper 12. I'll pay your lawyer bills. Don't worry about it. And then what we'll do is we'll make this fight. The UFC will re-sign you for like one fight. You'll earn the biggest payday you'll ever earn. And this is my gift to you, Artem. I'll just, you know I'm better than you, so I'll smash you around the octagon for a few rounds. And you can walk away with like a couple of million quid, which you'll never get anywhere else from any other fight. And then we can go and have some drinks together afterwards in the bar. Sounds good, doesn't it?
I'm down with it.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not saying that I necessarily want to see it. I'm just saying if you're Artem and Conor, maybe that's a good idea. Maybe yeah. You make the Artem Lobov Conor McGregor fight. I mean, I don't know. It probably won't happen, but Conor needs, I think he does sort of need a bit of a gimme fight just to shake the cobwebs out and 100%. Then fight someone. So, you know, who knows? And I'm not saying that it would be written down that like Artem's going to take a dive or anything like that. I just think Conor knows he's better. They'll have a fight. He's bigger than him as well. They're just, you know, that's just the way it'll go. Tuivasa Pavlovich.
Fucking hell, Blake.
What a minute.
Spit it out. I mean, it was incredible, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is what happens when you've got someone like Ty who can really take a punch and give has huge power, but is not the most technically gifted striker. When he comes up against someone that is maybe not equally powerful, but very, very, very powerful.
Fuck me, but he's powerful.
But he's more technical, I think. This is what happens.
That bite down and swing back from Ty was just pissing in the wind, wasn't it?
It really was.
It was nowhere near it. What was landing on him was devastating. And what a statement.
Yeah. I mean, but Pavlovich, I think he's slowly but surely just going, yeah, I'm here too, guys. Like, his only loss was on his UFC debut to Alistair Overeem. And we've spoken before about UFC debuts and how difficult they can be. We'll talk about that in our next episode, which will be out very soon for 282. The Ankalaev, his only loss was Paul Craig in his UFC debut. Debuts are tricky in the UFC. The lights are on you. The pressure's on. Pavlovich's only loss was to Overeem. Other than that, he's won 17 fights. 17 fights. I can't remember how many in the UFC, but 17 fights he's won. One he's lost, and that was that debut. He's been just slowly going about his business without the kind of the praise or the hype of the Cyril Garns or the Tommy Aspinalls and people like that. But he's there and he means business and he's a big, big problem. He has, you know, a kind of a Greco-Roman wrestling background that he doesn't even seem to use very often. He hits hard. He's got a good chin. I don't know, in terms of the future for him, Ngannou Jones seems to be the fight that's going to be made. We had Adam Katcher on the show, another great episode you can go back and listen to. We had him on the show recently, and he was saying he's very confident Ngannou Jones happens within the first kind of 4 or 5 months or something of next year. That means I would really think you should be doing Garn versus Blades, but Pavlovich is there. Pavlovich could take on any one of those guys, and people probably won't.
Garn-Blades is the fight, definitely.
I think that's the fight. That leaves Pavlovich in a slightly iffy position because Aspinall's injured and, you know, there's not a huge amount in front of him that he can do. Stipe's not going to fight him. Like, if Stipe was up for just fighting anyone, sure, give him Stipe, great fight. But I don't think Stipe's fighting for anything other than a belt. He's not going to be bothered with it. So it only really leaves Alexander Volkov, who won his last fight. I can't remember who that was against. Was it like Rosenstreich or something? But I think maybe Alexander Volkov, Russia against Russia, that could be a fight that's made. Equally, if anything goes wrong in that heavyweight division, if Garn, Blades, Ngannou, Jones, if any of them have a problem, get injured, any of that stuff, Pavlovich is right in that conversation now. And he's only about 30 years old, which is really young for a heavyweight. I think Tommy Aspinall's he's about similar age, I think. They've got these young heavyweights coming through that really mean business. And I think, watch out. No one's going to be wanting to fight Sergei Pavlovich anytime soon.
No, that sent a message out, that performance. Massively. Just walked through him. Terrifying. I don't know where that leaves Ty now. I just, fun fights. You know, people like him, don't they? And he's got some charisma. Yeah.
Dorcas versus Rosenstrike is coming up this weekend at UFC 282. The winner of that, or maybe even the loser of that, he could fight either of those guys. They're both both strikers. Ty could potentially get a win there. You know, that could be a fun fight.
Absolutely, absolutely. Anything else on this card we want to touch on? We did see that Mark Dear Casey took a loss, didn't he?
It was a weird one, wasn't it? That Dear Casey seemed to dominate a lot of that first round. Then it sounds horrible to say, but it's like he sort of let Johnson back into the fight a little bit. Yeah. I don't know, it was a strange one. And then I found the reaction at the end very strange. I thought Johnson clearly won rounds 2 and 3. And Dear Casey was like pointing to himself like, yeah, I've done this, I've won. And then looked shocked by the result. And I was like, I don't know what you're shocked about. It was strange. I don't know. I found it strange. And he's been on such a tear lately. And, you know, I'm a Dear Casey fan. I think he's a really great fighter. He's got fantastic striking, but he's also got some good wrestling as well. Particularly for a UK-based fighter, it's a shame that one. It was a strange fight in that way.
Couple of other notes before we wrap. Another win for Clay Guida, amazing. The guy just keeps coming. He's going nowhere. Always fun. And former guest of the show, an absolute delight. Angela Hill got a W.
Yes,
in the prelims.
A couple of other things I do think we should mention.
Do it, mate.
Roman Dolidze. Oh, my God. It came out of nowhere. Like, unranked, took a fight against Jacko Manchin at short notice, winds up getting a phenomenal finish. I've never seen that before. That weird kind of like...
insane, wasn't it?
This weird kind of like grappling exchange, which got him in some kind of like calf slicer situation where he had Hermanson face down and then was just able to batter him, and Hermanson couldn't get out of it. Hermanson's a fantastic grappler, and he just had Hermanson in a situation where he's like, you cannot move, I'm just gonna hit you until the ref pulls me off now.
It
was really amazing. Like, it was really, really special. We've got something really interesting with Roman Dolidze there now, and I'm really looking forward to what he does next. Terrible call out though, calling out Khamzat Chimaev, who's in the weight class below. You've heard Dana say he wants to make the Colby fight. And if Khamzat goes up in weight, he's talking about fighting Pereira. He's not going to want to fight you ranked 8th. Like, it's just not going to happen. If Khamzat goes up to middleweight, he's fighting either Pereira or Robert Whittaker. Mm. Or Paulo Costa if he were to beat Robert Whittaker, which can't imagine happening. Terrible call out. The person who he should have called out was Marvin Vettori.
Yeah,
Marvin 100%. Vettori is not fighting for a belt anytime soon. He needs fights. He's higher ranked. He's a name. People want to watch Vettori fight. Call out Vettori. That's what you should have done. So that's the moment that he sort of let himself down there. But the performance in the octagon in the fight was unbelievable. Really fantastic. And I've never seen that before. And I'm always a big... If I've never seen it before and you show it to me, I'm a fan. So now I'm a Roman Dolidze fan.
Bad night for Jacko Manson. Obviously, he was meant to have been fighting Derek Brunson in that match, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And, oh, my God. Like, you think you'd had a lucky escape not fighting Derek Brunson, and you get that. And look at that. What? Like you said, there was nothing he could do. He was just locked up there with just being punched in the head until the ref was like, right, you're done.
Yeah, like, unbelievable.
Absolutely fantastic.
The only other fight on the card I think might be... first of all, I just want to say Roe versus Price was an absolute banger. Really fun fight, but Roe did miss weight, so that's why he wasn't eligible for any kind of bonuses.
He looked huge compared to Nico Price.
Yeah, he did. He did, but he missed weight by just a couple of pounds, but he missed weight. But the fight I would like to mention, because I think it has some really interesting things going on in the future, is Nicolau versus Schnell. Yep. Matt Schnell, God bless him, to make weight, shaved all his hair off. Shaved his chest hair just to make weight. But it didn't do him any favours. Bald Schnell got beat, and Nicolau was just faster, better on the feet. Dropped Schnell about 3 times in the fight before it was stopped. Nicolau looks like a real problem. But the other thing is, the last fight on his contract... you would think he can get a bigger payday now, and the UFC will bump up his contract, and he'll still be there, because I think he's ranked 5th or something like that, Nicolau. But it's difficult for the 125ers because a lot of other people in other weight classes, they can go to PFL, they can go to Bellator, whatever. The only real option for the 125ers is to go to ONE Championship because there's no flyweight division at the PFL or in Bellator. So all he's got really is ONE Championship. So they have less of a kind of like strong bargaining position, but you would hope he'd get a payday because he looks like a really, really good fighter.
That wouldn't have done him any harm, that performance at the weekend, Blake.
Oh, no. And I think he's on a 6-fight win streak now with wins over, you know, Schnell, Minnell Cup, Tim Elliott. So, you know, he's got big names on his resume. This guy could potentially fight for a belt in the future. In terms of that division, again, what goes on with Brandon Moreno now with the James Krause situation? Is he fighting Figueiredo or not? Pantoja's made a case that he should fight for a belt soon, and he's got 2 wins, I think, over Brandon Moreno. So he should be fighting for a belt. Then you've got the likes of Brandon Royval and Kai Kara-France, obviously coming off an interim title loss. Any of those. Brandon Royval, I think, is maybe the fight to make for Nicolau, but you could have him fight Pantoja. Then Nicolau maybe has to wait. Alex Perez is fighting Kai Kara-France in Perth. Then if it goes wrong there, maybe he could step in. I don't know. But Nicolau, it's a tricky position because there's a lot going on at the top end of that division. You don't know how things are going to shake up. But he's in there and he looks legit and he should be given his chance to maybe prove himself as a number one contender next year.
Absolutely. Great card all round that was Saturday night.
Really good card.
Okay, well, look, we'll be back soon with a look ahead to this weekend's UFC 282. In the meantime, go subscribe to wherever you get your podcast to listen to this. Go check out our back catalogue because amongst names such as Angela Hill that we've mentioned on here, you can hear us chatting to Michael Bisping, Dan Hardy, Derek Brunson, we mentioned as well earlier. Great chat with him. And a big bundle of all your favourite fighters. So go and have a good old rummage in the archives because you'll find some wonderful chats to be enjoyed. We're back next time.
We are back next time. Thanks very much, guys. See you later.
Bye-bye.